Chapter 14. Morning greeted them with clear, rose-colored skies and a slight breeze. Charlie ran a systems diagnostic on the medical scanner as the injured crew slowly roused with the rising red sun. He knew by now he'd have about 2 hours before the sun's yellow twin would crest the horizon, their combined rays casting a faint orange tint to the barren plain. "We should head out toward those rock formations today, Charlie," Rika said as she chewed a nutrient bar. "They're the only things not flat and dirt out here. I figure they're worth taking a closer look at. Who knows, we may get lucky. Sounds like as good a plan as any." "Thanks for the vote of confidence," she said, stretching out the kinks from a bad night's sleep. "I'm going to get us some extra water for the trek. We'll head out as soon as we check on the others." "I can do it. Besides, I'm the one trained to use the med scanner anyway." "All right. Get to it, then meet me in command. I want to have another look in daylight, and we have a few things to discuss before we head out." Charlie gathered up the scanner and some supplies and made his way through the waking survivors, performing a basic medical analysis of each while distributing breakfast rations from their stores, along with small containers of water. They had accumulated a surprising amount via the solar stills, but nevertheless, water was strictly rationed on the dusty planet. The small containers into which he had siphoned the prior day's production were far from full, and that would need to be addressed sooner rather than later. For now, however, getting the crew healthy was priority one. Winnie's injuries, while undoubtedly debilitating, were not critical. Her broken arm had been properly set, confirmed by the med scanner, and the blow to her head did not appear to have caused any lasting damage beyond a decent concussion and a sore neck. Sven Jurgensen, the man in charge of logging and organizing the ship's supplies, was in worse shape. While he looked relatively uninjured to the naked eye, the device in Charlie's hand revealed a subdural hematoma pressing on his brain. The small leak had self-sealed, and the pressure was gradually decreasing as his body reabsorbed the fluid. In their current location and with such limited resources, it was all he could ask for. They kept him safely covered in the shade of the ship, where the dazed man refused food, but was at least coherent enough to drink water. He was a big man, and a few days without a meal wouldn't kill him. A few days without fluids would. Rika was right about moving back inside the ship for shelter. The craft was terribly damaged from the crash, its walkways were unstable, and liable to shift or even give way without warning. While Rika and Charlie were in good enough condition to avoid the dangers, the rest of the survivors could not possibly move fast enough to stay clear of hazards. In fact, with their injuries, most, if not all, would have to be carried anyway. "Hold still, Omid," Charlie said as he passed the handheld scanner over the shallow-breathing rocket scientist's chest.
"How bad is it, Charlie? If you'd hold still, I could get a better reading and tell you." "Sorry, it just hurts to breathe," he said, tugging on the tight wrap Charlie had placed around his torso. "I know it does. That's because you've got a flail chest, and that shit hurts." "Flail chest?" "It means several adjacent ribs are broken in a way that lets them free float with your chest as you breathe. It's one of the most painful types of rib breaks."
"I noticed, and this wrap is killing me."
"Stop tugging at it, Omid. Bad as it feels, the pressure of that wrap against the broken section is actually reducing the pain."
"You've got to be kidding me. You mean it could be worse?"
"Yep. Now hold still. I've only got so much battery on this thing."
Charlie passed the scanner over the alien man's chest, then, once he had a full set of readings, continued over the rest of his body.
"Okay, all done. You can squirm now, though I'd advise against it."
"So what's it say, Charlie? Am I going to be okay?"
"I think so. You bruised some organs, which is hardly surprising given the broken ribs. But there seems to be no internal bleeding."
"Great. How long until I'm able to walk?"
"You could try now, but it would hurt like a son of a bitch. Just rest. Rika and I have things under control." Omid let out a pained sigh.
"Okay, I'll just lie here then. Doctor's orders."
"You do that," Charlie said with a little laugh. "You'll heal. Just give it time."
He rose to his feet and made his way to the heavily bandaged particle physicist lying on a makeshift cot. Both of her legs were splinted, as well as her left arm,
which was held in place against her torso with a heavy swath. How you feeling, Siobhan?
Not running any marathons,
she said, managing a forced smile. An avid runner, her shattered legs were almost worse than death in her eyes. I know this sucks, but we'll get through it, he said, not sure if he believed his own words. Rika and I salvaged some goodies. I didn't find much of your gear, at least not that was intact. But I did score this med scanner.
I don't need that thing to tell me my legs are fucked.
Such language, Dr. Stewart, he said, with an amused grin as he passed the device over her heavily wrapped legs.
I'm Scottish, Charlie. I learned to swear before I learned to walk.
Noted. Well, you'll be pleased to know that while you are well and proper fucked, we pronounce it fucked, by the way. Okay, you're fucked. But it looks like the bone ends are lined, so given time, your leg should heal up okay.
You don't have any cast material.
No, we don't. So when Rika and I get back from our next salvage run, we'll see if we can find something that'll do the trick well enough. I was thinking we could heat the memory foam from one of the seats until it becomes extremely pliable. Then we wrap your legs. It won't be totally rigid, but if it holds form when it cools, it should keep stuff in place and protect you from further injury.
Won't my legs burn from the heat?
We have some scraps from a damaged EVA suit we can use. We'll pull the heat-reflecting outer layer and make a sort of undercast bandage. It'll feel warm, no doubt, but it shouldn't burn.
Pretty ingenious, Charlie. And here I always took you for more of a follower. I misjudged you.
I don't want to be doing any of this, but there's no one else to do it.
Well, I appreciate it.
She shifted her gaze, looking past him into the sky.
A binary star system. And a breathable atmosphere to boot. Never in a million years would have thought I'd be standing, lying on an alien world like this. We were paving the way for future generations, you know? It wasn't supposed to be us out here.
And yet, here we are.
Yep.
At least we haven't been cooked by radiation, he said.
With the wave spectrum of these stars, along with the basic look of this world and its breathable atmosphere, I think we're safe. We may burn a little faster, and who knows what skin cancers we may get in 30 years. But for the short term, we should be okay.
Charlie gave her a long drink from the water container and left a nutrient bar at her side. I'll do what I can to find some pain meds, but medical took a serious hit when we crashed. Most of the facility is gone.
I appreciate it, Charlie.
He flashed her a warm smile, then walked to where Rika was squatting beside Jamal's motionless form. She looked up at him with a pained expression. He knew before she said a word. Charlie rested his hand on her shoulder.
We should bury him with the others.
Rika nodded once, stoic but hurting. The two then covered his body and slid him onto their sled, pulling him away from the survivors to join the ranks of their buried dead.